God is not a God of disorder or confusion, but is the God of peace.
If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing.
We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning stars rise in your hearts.
You are tuning into the Tribe of Christians podcast with host The Chief Sinner, bringing you a peace of mind, clarity, insight, and perspective to the world you live in by the Word of God, featuring the latest updates on end time prophecy news. Don't forget to subscribe to the Tribe of Christians broadcast, either on Stitcher, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Podbean, SoundCloud, Facebook, or YouTube at tribeofchristians.com. Without further ado, here is your host and teacher, the Chief Sinner.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to the Tribe of Christians podcast. I am your host, the Chief Sinner. On New Year's Eve, we published a prophetic word on our website and blog called 10 Major Prophecies for 2018. In the article, I stated that we are entering a time period what the Bible calls the fulfillment of the Gentiles, and that within the next 70 years, we will witness the rapture of the church and the return of Jesus. That means a lot of things have to happen to jumpstart the prophetic countdown. I stated that a lot of things would have to happen very quickly and would depend upon the first three quarters of the year that will set the pace. It's a pay attention to the headlines. If you want to read that entire article, it can be found on our homepage of tribeofchristians.com. God has fulfilled that word, and it seems that things are indeed speeding up very quickly. Breaking Israeli news reported on Sunday, February 25th, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu invited U.S. President Donald Trump to Israel for the inauguration of the new U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem this coming May for Israel's 70th anniversary. The U.S. Embassy move was originally planned for late 2019, but looks like it has been moved up much more ahead of schedule and as soon as May of this year, 2018. Things are moving very fast, just as the Lord revealed to us that they would. This is very big news. This is Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our very own eyes. This should encourage every single believer because this means that God's word is sincere and true. Therefore, we can be sure that we will soon see our Lord and Savior face to face. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the biblical prophetic timeline that is laid out in Daniel chapter 9, known as the 70 weeks prophecy, and where we are on that timeline. If you have your Bible, phone, or computer, we are going to be turning to Jeremiah chapter 25 and also Daniel chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 25 and Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, the Israelites have been under severe Babylonian captivity as a judgment and punishment for disobeying God. They've witnessed the total destruction of the temple and their holy capital of Jerusalem. They've been scattered, and the Babylonians have taken most of the sons from the tribe of Judah, the ancestral tribe from King David. Daniel is there, laid out on the floor, unashamed of his love for God and his love for his people, seeking God's face and calling him out by his name, according to the word God gave through Jeremiah. Now, you have to understand something about this. This may seem like a normal thing that is occurring, but it's a very big deal. Back then, God's name was so holy and sacred that the Israelites didn't speak it or even write it down for the fear of being struck dead. But here is Daniel, unafraid of death, out of love and hope, earnestly speaking it. He is here praying in reference to a word given through the prophet Jeremiah that's found in Jeremiah chapter 25. And this is where we get the famous 21-day Daniel fast. So in order to understand this scene with Daniel and what he is praying, we have to first understand the context and the perspective. So if you would, just turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 25, starting in verses 8 through 14. That's Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 8 through 14. It reads, "Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. I will banish them from the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the sound of a millstones and the light of a lamp. The whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. But when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation, the land of the Babylonians, for their guilt, declares the Lord, and I will make it desolate forever. I will bring on the land all the things I have spoken against it, all that are written in this book and prophesied by Jeremiah against all the nations. They themselves will be enslaved by many nations and great kings. I will repay them according to their deeds and the work of their hands." So, because of Israel's disobedience, God brought destruction upon them and banished them from their land for 70 years. Now, 70 is a significant number, which I'm going to show you a little bit later what it means. So, here we are now in the book of Daniel. Down the road, approximately 70 years later, God's word came to pass, and the Israelites are under enemy oppression of the Babylonians, exactly as Jeremiah prophesied. Daniel remembers the word God gave through Jeremiah and is intensely fasting and praying for the liberation and the freedom of his people according to God's promise. Isn't this a great example as to how believers should exemplify their faith and prayer in their life? I love Daniel's faith and I love his uncompromising heart of worship. And the thing that really gets me here about Daniel is that even though Israel's sin and judgment is not Daniel's fault, Daniel is here taking the accountability of things that he didn't even do. This is true leadership. Daniel truly is a man of integrity. Isn't that still the message to us today? Daniel is loving his people even though they have lost their zeal and their love for God. That's the gospel message. Loving people who don't love you. Loving despite the circumstances, despite the situation, and despite being surrounded by the enemy. And I always say it in every single episode. God is speaking and it's only a matter of perception. Look around you. Look at the world that we live in and look at what is happening. The world is full of people right now that need God's love. The answer has always been right in front of us. Now that we understand what happened in Jeremiah chapter 25 and why it happened to the Israelites, we can now turn to Daniel chapter 9 verses 10 through 27. Daniel is praying and referencing Jeremiah's prophecy. It reads, "We have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed the instructions he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has disobeyed your instruction and turned away, refusing to listen to your voice. So now, the curses and judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured down upon us because of our sin. You have kept your word and done to us and our rulers exactly as you warned. Never has there been such a disaster as happened in Jerusalem. Every curse written against us in the law of Moses has come true. Yet we have refused to seek mercy from the Lord our God by turning from our sins and recognizing his truth. Therefore, the Lord has brought upon us disaster he prepared. The Lord our God was right to do all of these things, for we did not obey him. Our Lord, our God, you brought lasting honor to your name by rescuing your people from Egypt in the great display of power. But we have sinned and are full of wickedness. In view of all of your faithful mercies, Lord, please turn your furious anger away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, and the neighboring nations mock Jerusalem and your people because of our sins and the sins of our ancestors. O our God, hear your servant's prayer. Listen as I plead. For your own sake, Lord, smile again on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, lean down and listen to me. Open your eyes and see our despair. See how your city, the city that bears your name, lies in ruins. We make this plea not because we deserve help, but because of your mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, do not delay. O my God, for your people and your city bear your name. Before Daniel could finish the prayer in his heart, God sends word through his messenger, the Archangel Gabriel, and in the Lord's reply, it reads, a period of 70 sets of seven has been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish their rebellion, to put an end to their sin, to atone for their guilt, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to confirm the prophetic vision and anoint the most holy place. Now listen and understand. Seven sets of seven plus 62 sets of seven will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until a ruler, the Anointed One, comes. Jerusalem will be rebuilt with streets and strong defenses despite the perilous times. After this period of 62 sets of seven, Anointed One will be killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing. And a ruler will arise whose armies will destroy this city and the temple. And will come with the flood and war, and its miseries are decreed from that time to the very end. The ruler will make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of seven, but after half of this time, he will put an end to the sacrifices and offerings. And as a climax to all his terrible deeds, he will set up a sacrilegious object that causes desecration until the fate decreed for this defiler to finally poured out upon him. I'm going to explain this as simply as possible. The first key to understanding Bible prophecy is to understand that God's perspective through Bible prophecy is always based upon the Jewish calendar. Right now, it is the Jewish year 5778 and the Gentile year 2018. Israel's calendar is based upon the moon, and ours is based upon the sun. That's why, symbolically, the moon always represents Israel, and the sun always represents the Gentile nations and everyone else other than Israel. Usually, there is always supernatural divine signs in the heavens, the stars, the moon, and the sun, that preludes a prophetic event or fulfillment. This has always been the way of things since the very creation of the world. An example of this is when Jesus was born, there was a significant star that appeared over the earth, marking his birth. In the book of Revelation, there are signs in the moon and in the star that occur during the tribulation period. So, there has been a series of significant signs over the earth recently, which have indicated an important prophetic season. In the years 2014 through 2016, there occurred what we call the four blood moons, also known as the Harbinger, that all fell on major Jewish festivals or holidays. August of 2017, there was also the Great American Eclipse. We also had the Great Revelation 12 sign that happened in September 23rd of this past year. All of these things weren't just an accident, but were signs indicating significant biblical prophetic events to occur with Israel. In every past podcast, I've spoken about it, how America and the president are being used to fulfill and influence prophetic fulfillment with Israel. Israel's calendar works in periods of 7-year cycles of seven sets totaling 49 years. Then it starts over. Seven is the symbolic number of anointing, which means to set apart and is holy, dedicated to God. To understand this, think of working out at the gym. You have sets and repetitions. You lift a weight for seven times in a row to equal one set. And you repeat it for seven times for a total of 49 repetitions in that exercise or workout. So in this case, it's like year one, year two, year three, so on until you get to year seven, and then you start over and repeat. The seventh year of a 7-year cycle is known as a holy rest year or a Shemitah. traditionally, work is not done in the fields on that seventh year, and it's considered a holy year dedicated to the Lord. Then once Israel has reached 49 years, the 50th year is a holy period, ending and starting a new cycle known as a jubilee. On the 50th year, traditionally, a jubilee, slaves, captives, prisoners are set free, debt is forgiven, and land is also returned. The 70th year is a full completion of a generation, completing 10 sets of seven. 10 represents the number of divinity. 7 represents the number of rest and holiness. You know how I am always saying that God is always speaking to us? I always say that nothing is by accident or coincidence. Numbers and years are one of the ways that God has been communicating to us since the very beginning, which is exemplified right here in the book of Daniel. The timeline laid out to Daniel is first 7 sets of 7, totaling 49 years, and then 70 sets of 7, totaling 490 years, known as weeks. So that's 7 years, then start over. 7 years, then start over, repeating until the 70th set. Now, you may be asking the question, why did God call it a week when a week is traditionally 7 days, 24 hours per day? In this case, a week symbolically represents divinity through the creation week. It's the signature of God's architectural design and craftsmanship. So, the message to Daniel is when the decree is ordered to rebuild the second temple, there will be 49 years plus 430 years, totaling 483 years. Then Jesus will come and be put to death, appearing to have accomplished nothing. And then another ruler will come for a final 7 years, making the total a 490 years overall, altogether, until the entire judgment or prophetic timeline is fulfilled. So far, everything has been fulfilled according to God's word in Jeremiah. The decree was given through the Persian King Cyrus to rebuild the second temple in Jerusalem. That's in the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Malachi. Then Jesus came at the 69th week, or the 69th set of sevens, fulfilling the prophecies. And in doing so, Jesus paused the prophetic timeline, initiating what he calls the time of the Gentiles. Now that's found in Luke 21:24 and also in Matthew 24:14 as the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Both are the same exact thing, and both are nearly complete. The timeline is paused because Jesus said in Matthew 24:14 that the end will not come until the time of the Gentiles is complete and the gospel message is preached to the entire world as a testimony to all the nations. So we are in that time period known as the time of the Gentiles, where the gospel is being preached to every single nation around the world, to all people groups. So there are now remaining 7 years left on this prophetic timeline to be fulfilled. That's it, just 7 years, the 70th week. These final 7 years will be the 7 years in which Satan rules the world through the Antichrist, a one-world leader and a one-world government with a false prophet. This is also known as the Great Tribulation Period or Jacob's Trouble. It is the final 70th week or 7 years. What starts the clock or the countdown for the final 7 years is the rebuilding of the third Jewish temple and the restoration of Jerusalem. Just how the clock started when the decree was given for the second temple, the same thing will be for the rebuilding of the third temple. Now, this is where real biblical wisdom and understanding comes into play. There's a big issue between Israel and Palestine about the city of Jerusalem and who the city of Jerusalem belongs to. This also includes the Temple Mount and all of the holy sites that were used for the temple and religious Levitical sacrificial ceremonies. But according to the message given to Daniel, Jerusalem will be fully restored to the Jews along with a third Jewish temple. there's a treaty in effect right now from the 1967 Six-Day War for Jerusalem between Israel and Palestine, Egypt, and Jordan. This is a legal binding treaty between the nations that is preventing scripture from being fulfilled and dividing land rights. Several things have to happen for Jerusalem to be fully restored back to the Jews, and it probably will not happen without a fight. This is where President Trump and the United States comes in to play. God is using our president to help inspire Israel to take back Jerusalem and restore it, to stand up for themselves. God used the Persian King Cyrus very similarly in the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Malachi to rebuild the second temple. However, the third temple will not be built until the very beginning of the seven-year tribulation period or peace treaty and after the rapture of the church. God will send two witnesses, which many believe will be Elijah and Enoch, since neither of them died but were taken straight to heaven. Just as God used Nehemiah and Ezra to rebuild the second temple, God is going to send back Elijah and Enoch to help rebuild the third temple. There has always been a prophet to Israel as an intercessory between the people and God when the temple existed. Since the church will not be on the earth and the Holy Spirit will not be on the earth and Israel has not received the revelation of Jesus and of grace yet, God sends the two witnesses who are prophets. It has been officially 70 years since the reestablishment of Israel in 1948. It has been 50 years since the reestablishment of Jerusalem in 1967. This year is the Hebrew year 5778. It is the first year of a brand new seven-year cycle. It is also the first year after the 50th Jubilee year. It's also the first year after the 70th generational cycle, which in the Bible, 70 represents the number of a generation. The number 8 in the Bible means covenant and new beginning. Boys were circumcised on the 8th day after their birth. It's a sign of God's covenant between him and Israel fulfilled through Jesus. And here we are, 2018, the number 8, or 5778, and we're witnessing the beginning stages of the restoration of the third temple and of the Temple Mount. This is only just a few steps away from removing the pause button and putting the judgment clock back on the clock. In other words, what all of this means is that all of the pieces are in place and everything is being set up perfectly for the Antichrist and the final seven-year tribulation period. We are drawing ever so nearly to the end. We are now in a period where we are going to see the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of prophecy is going to be given very greatly. Just as Jesus said, we will have dreams, visions, and will prophesy. Just as labor pains increase in frequency and severity, as a woman draws near to the birth of a child, the same thing is going to happen with the world. Acts of evil, wickedness, corruption, and violence will greatly increase in frequency and in severity. This is why we are seeing so much wickedness and mass shootings. It will be exactly as it is in the times of Noah before the great flood. But also, pockets of revival in the spirit will be poured out in areas more frequently and more severely as well in order to prepare the church. I believe we're going to see the magnificent, miraculous signs that happened in the early church on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be a nationwide or worldwide event that will draw news media attention, but it will be in selective areas. Just as people were drawn out into the wilderness to hear the Spirit of the Lord speak through John the Baptist, similarly, the same things will happen with all the major cities around the world. God is beginning to separate the wheat and the tares and prepare the way for the rapture of the church and of his second coming, his arrival. If you get some time, go back and listen to our podcast called The Great Harvest. In that episode, I show you in much more detail from the parable of the wheat and the tares how there are two specific harvests happening at the same time, Satan's harvest and the Lord's harvest, one meant for destruction and the other for salvation. This is why we're seeing such an increase in violence. Also, if you get the chance, go back and listen to our very first podcast about the Trump prophecy and the faith of the Gentiles. In those episodes, I explain in detail about God's purposes with the United States in the end times and for President Trump. Just like Daniel and Daniel's heart for his people, we need to really be in prayer for unity, liberation of sin, and the revelation of grace through Christ. We need to be in prayer for reaching the lost. We need to really seek the Spirit and grow together as the body of Christ. The rapture of the church will be here before we know it, and everybody else who doesn't know the Lord will be left behind to face the terrible judgments and tribulations during the time of the Antichrist. It's going to be much harder for them to believe in Jesus without the Holy Spirit and God's holy church on the earth. We need to be in prayer for evangelists, for prophets and pastors. We need to be in prayer for church unity and growth, for boldness and courage. Zechariah prophesies of a spirit of David being poured out on his people in the end. We need boldness. We need faith. We need courage. We need to stand on biblical truth and carry our shield of faith. Now is the time more than anything like ever before. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life as both Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, and you want to put your trust in Christ right now, then please pray this prayer with me right now, word for word. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for giving me the revelation of grace and of your Son Jesus. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I thank you for sending your one and only Son to die on the cross for my sins and for forgiving me. I ask that you continue to please reveal your word and your purposes in my life so that I may help to reveal your purposes in the lives of those around me, just as you have reached me. In your great and holy name, Jesus, I trust and pray. Amen. You can find more great teachings just like this one on our website, tribeofchristians.com. Also, you can subscribe to this broadcast on our website by clicking on any of our platforms like iTunes or Google Play. Don't forget to share this message on your social media sites to help us to spread the gospel message. We're also on Facebook at Tribe of Christians. This concludes this episode's podcast. I am the Chief Sinner with the Tribe of Christians. May God bless you and continue to be with you always.